Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. Today, we've got a topic. Man, you guys can all relate with this. You may even feel this emotion by the time it's all over with. Or you may sit there and say, wow, there is hope. Or who knows what's going to take place. But anyway, in the studio with me today, I've got the professional, the one, the only. I was going to make a remark, but I would just make you angry if I did that. We're going to talk about anger today. Are we not, bro?
Yes.
Can we speak with a smile on your face?
Yes.
He looked at me kind of. So I've got Joel in the studio with me today. And we're going to talk about anger. We're going to talk about this emotion that it seems that it's in all of our lives. In some cases, more in at other times and at other times. And we see it in various, how it manifests itself in our lives and in others' lives. It's always easier to see it in someone else's life, you know, first. But we always know that at times that we can actually have a dose of that going in our own lives, right?
All right.
So you wanted to talk about this, and there are a lot of variations. There's a lot of different things about anger. Was there any particular area that we wanted to go down here?
Nothing in particular.
Okay.
You know, just anger in general. And I'm very happy to be talking about it because I, just so the listeners out there know, I am a very joyful person. I am very happy all the time, and I never get angry. Everyone else around me gets angry. It's not me that's angry. It's everyone else around me that's angry, just so you know.
And so that you know, the next topic that you and I will discuss is denial.
Okay, and that's not a river in Egypt?
That's not the one we'll be talking. It is a river in Egypt, but that's not the one we'll be talking about.
All right.
So anyway, so anger. So a few things. Do you have a meaning of anger by any chance anywhere?
I don't.
I know that we got it biblically, and we actually could go there in a sense. But I'm going to read something what it says out of questions.org on this, but I want you to look this up so we get it. Handling anger is an important life skill. Christian counselors report that 50% of people who come in for counseling have problems dealing with anger. Anger can shatter communication and tear apart relationships, and it ruins both the joy and health of many. Sadly, people tend to justify their anger instead of accepting responsibility for it. Everyone struggles to varying degrees with anger. Thankfully, God's Word contains principles regarding how to handle anger in a godly manner and how to overcome sinful anger. So, what's the definition that you found for anger?
So, Webster says the definition of anger is a strong feeling of displeasure and usually of antagonism, you know, annoyance. So it's an unpleasurable feeling.
All right.
You know, an annoyed feeling.
Yes.
So they say.
Yes.
But maybe for some people it's a pleasurable feeling. When you get anger, you know, when you get angry, you know, your blood pressure spikes. Your adrenaline starts pumping. Mm-hmm. Some people like that. Some people like that adrenaline rush that you get when you get angry. And so you can get addicted to anger. You know, and once you get addicted to anger, That's not a good thing.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily that it's an addiction to anger as it is to the chemical imbalance that takes place with the adrenaline flow. That is what you and that's a means of being able to get that thing going in our bodies or whatever. Yes. Is it pleasurable? Yes, I guess to a certain degree we could say, yeah, it does feel good, especially when you release that anger, you know. But most men have a tendency, if especially around others, depending on what it is, withhold a lot of that stuff, okay? Especially when there's been something that has gone wrong in our life. Somebody embarrassed me or somebody said something to me that I didn't like, right? Or has done something to me that I didn't like.
Well, and that's true. It could be one thing that gets you angry. You know, but once the anger is there, it tends to stick around. You know, Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools."
Mm-hmm.
And so once anger enters into your life, it's hard to get rid of it sometimes. You know, it just kind of sticks around. It resides there. And then you start getting angry at everything else that you would not normally get angry at.
Well, it's sort of like it's like having – you guys have seen it before, you know, where all of a sudden somebody has a start of kerosene or gasoline. And they just kind of, sprinkle out, right? And they head it towards something bigger that they want the fire to go to. It's like a fuse, right? You light the one end of it. It's a little safer. Right? Watch that thing burn, then you know it's going to hit that one section and boom.
It's going to blow.
Yes.
It's going to blow.
Yeah.
And that's aggressive anger.
Yeah.
You know, there's also passive anger, which kind of dwells underneath. You know, that's you get sarcasm, apathy, and meanness. You know, you get these self-defeating behaviors.
Okay, so that, let's kind of go here. So passive anger is one that this is not necessarily that we don't necessarily show that we're angry.
No, we
do things that get us feeling like, okay, I'm releasing some of this. Right?
You do, but you sit there and you grumble to yourself about everyone else. You know, someone told me recently. You know, when I told him I was having a problem, you know, with anger,
mm-hmm.
he told me, what was it? He said, you know, if you start looking at other people's problems,
mm-hmm.
you start looking at everything else that's wrong with everyone else,
mm-hmm.
instead of looking at your own problems that you need to deal with, that's only going to feed that anger.
Yes.
It's only going to cause more problems. And I realize I've been doing that, you know. Everyone else at work is slacking, but I'm not slacking. No, not me. No, I deserve to take this extra break because I've worked hard. But everyone else, they're the slackers, you know. My wife, she needs to do a better job taking care of the kids. But not me. I work all day. So I deserve to come home and relax. I shouldn't have to help out around the house. Why is she complaining about always having to work 24/7?
Yes.
No. I'm the one that works hard all the time. And you see, I start to tell myself these things. I start to look at everything wrong that's with everyone else and not look in the mirror. That becomes a problem, and that only feeds that anger. It lodges in the heart, and it is hard to get rid of.
Yeah. Well, you know, so often we see things that if we think about it our whole lives as kids, well, if we can remember back when we were younger, being able to play with our friends or our cousins or, you know, family members, and when you had one ball or one item that everyone gets to play with, when you didn't get it or get to play with it long enough or to have control of it, in a sense, you got angry. And there was, you know, that anger, there was a release. You want to be able to, hey, I want this. This is for, I want to be able to do this or whatever it was. We weren't so much passive as we were probably open about that sort of thing, right? If we think about it, as adults, we've grown to a place of becoming passive more than showing it, right? Because we didn't have control over that sometimes. But as a kid, especially as a toddler, most of the time you're just going to grab it and try to keep it away from everybody else, right? Or you're going to push them away, but you're not going to get into a fist fight or, you know, get into a place of endangering that other person's life.
That's correct. And so that's where that passive anger comes in.
Yes.
Over time as adults, we learn that maybe that aggressive anger get us in trouble.
Yes.
Maybe get us sent to jail for assault.
Yes.
Something like that, getting road rage, getting a wreck. So instead of exploding and letting all that anger out, I'm just going to hold it in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to grumble to myself.
Yeah.
That's yeah. not a healthy thing to do. You can have adverse health effects because of it.
Yes. And that has to do – there are so many variations also because of how others, the authorities in our life growing up, of how they handled anger. Okay? What we saw, okay – we saw our dad handle, you know, I saw my dad handle his anger in certain ways that I go, I don't ever want to do that to my kids if I were to ever be that way, you know, or whatever it was, whether it was drinking or maybe he hits other people or whatever it was. That's what we saw and that's what we learned. And in some cases, that's where what we end up walking out ourselves and dealing with it, you know. We would probably never ask him, if he was one that seemed angry all the time, we probably wouldn't ask him, how do you deal with your anger, Dad? You know, we just wouldn't ask him at all because we saw what he did.
And
right?
So we learn it.
And that's how we learn.
And that's how we learn.
So we end up, so often we end up with these things. And, you know, in ministry, sometimes we, you know, we did something a few years back where we dealt with father wounds, we called it. But it's not just father wounds. There's mother wounds and grandparents' wounds and uncle and aunt wounds. It's things from authorities, okay, that were said to us or done to us that we knew that that was wrong, okay, or maybe something that we taught or were said to us over and over again. We learned a certain behavior or, you know, a certain thought about ourselves that isn't true necessarily. And one, like for myself, was always that, hey, you're so clumsy. You're just going to be a clumsy idiot all your life, you know, because as I was growing up, I was knocking things over, it seemed like. And before I knew it, I'm calling myself a clumsy idiot, you know. And before I realize it, you know, going into high school, that I'm saying that all the time. Until I had somebody who actually stopped me, who cared about me, you know. And he was sort of a mentor, like a second father to me in a sense. You're not like that. That's not who you are. So this is what a few things you need to do to keep from being clumsy, in a sense. So, but those are the things that we didn't make time or take time to seek out. You know, we just
maybe we didn't realize there were a problem.
Exactly.
Because growing
it's
up
a
and
normal
seeing
thing. Yep.
Yeah, growing up and seeing it, you think it's normal. Mm-hmm. You know, in Proverbs, it tells you not to become friends with an angry man, lest you learn his ways.
Yes.
Growing up, I had a stepdad who was very angry. His was an explosive anger. Mm-hmm. He'd play video games and couldn't beat it, so he'd get mad and throw the controller and break it.
Hmm.
You know, now as kids, that scared us.
Yes.
But also growing up, it's like, well, maybe anger at little things is a normal thing. So, but I don't want to scare people. So maybe when I get angry, I'm just going to hold it in and grumble to myself. You know, I love putting things together, but when the directions get confusing or difficult, I get angry, even though I love what I'm doing at the time.
Yes.
It really is. You think it's normal. You think it's a normal behavior. You know, and our human emotion, it is normal, but it's not supposed to be okay all the time. It's something we need to control.
In Proverbs chapter, let's see, I think it's Proverbs 15, 18, something like that. It says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, okay? But he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Okay, and so often we want to be able to be that way, but we don't know how to be that way. We're not sure exactly how that is supposed to take place. I know that I'm not alone in this, but we've all said things in the midst of our anger that actually created more harm. We didn't do anything physically, but our words, okay, like it talks about in James, that our tongue, we can't control this thing. It's evil. Our tongue is evil, right? And we end up saying things that are hurtful to those that we love. Oh, we may say things to others that they don't know us or anything and think that that's fine and dandy, but the thing is, the more often we do that sort of thing and justify it, that means that there will be times when we'll justify using it toward those that we love.
And that's exactly why James tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry.
Yes.
You know, he also says a man's anger does not bring about God's righteousness.
Yes.
And it's true. It's our anger, and it's most of the time it's not justified. And we're just adding fuel to the fire.
Yes.
When we speak first without maybe thinking that there's a reason behind something.
Yeah. And in a lot of cases with the anger, when it creates hurt or harm in others, we feel like sometimes that justifies, especially if it's toward the person who hurt us, you know, in their anger. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you've got anger trying to defeat anger, and none of it is going to get anywhere, right? We just continue doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that this time I'm going to have one up on him. And really what it comes down to is that it's not going to change anything except make it even more uncomfortable, right? It's just, I mean, again, back to the toddlers when we're kids, you know, we're just learning how to walk or starting to, and you're around other toddlers and you're playing with toys. It could be a hundred different toys down there to play with, but if there's one that the other child, I've got this that I'm playing with, and he comes over to try to take it from me, I go, no, no. I try to push him away. Mine. Mine. This is mine. You can't have it. This is mine. And, it, you know, maybe there for everybody. It could be in a classroom. It could be in a daycare. It could be in a grandparent's home, whatever it is. But we push it away. So often, this is back to our nature of thinking it's all about me, you know. That's selfishness, self-centeredness.
Yep.
It's all about, hey, this is mine. We do the same thing as adults. That's why so often, you know, you hear people say, women, wives sometimes, look at our husbands. They're like a couple of kids, you know. They're acting and treating, talking to each other like they were just toddlers once again.
Like we're toddlers. Right? And maybe that's because maybe as kids, you didn't always get caught when you pushed the other kid away. And so as a result of your anger, you got your reward of the toy.
Yes.
So maybe you think, well, maybe this anger is a good thing if it gets me what I want.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not a good thing because there are repercussions to it.
So I want to go back here to this thing on passivity that you have here on this anger. What were the ones that you read off earlier? Some of the things it is that we do.
Oh, sarcasm.
Yes.
Apathy. Meanness. You get these self-defeating behaviors. You put yourself down,
mm-hmm.
like you said, and you don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you alienate your family and your friends. You push them away, you know, and you become resentful towards other people.
Yes.
When you look at everyone else's faults, you become resentful towards them, thinking they're the ones that's wrong. I'm not wrong. Everything's right about me. It's all them.
Yes.
And so you start to resent them,
mm-hmm.
you know, without looking at the root cause of it all.
Well, you know, let's do this. Let's take a break, take our first break here, and we'll come back and let's continue talking about, you know, this passivity of, you know, kind of holding on to this anger and it coming out in different ways that are still hurtful to others. How this, sometimes we don't see that it's like being the rat in the cage. It just keeps, what's it called? It keeps rolling around.
Running on the wheel?
Yeah.
It's an exercise wheel.
It's just working out.
Yeah.
We're getting this thing, going to get even stronger in anger. All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
You wrote your name upon my heart. You knew me long before my life began. You still have a plan. And when I'm starting to forget, Jesus, you tell me who I am. Who I am. You tell me I am loved. Tell me I am known. And
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Joel and Raul, we're talking about anger, and this emotion has so many aspects or so many triggers that get to that place where all of a sudden that something actually kicks off in this sort of thing. There's something in the book of Ephesians that Paul talks about here. He says, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Okay? So in other words, take care of your anger that you have each and every day before you go to bed, before you call it a day, okay, and go to sleep. Don't go down on your anger, because what it does is that when you go to bed that way, you generally get to wake up with that same emotion and feeling, maybe even stronger.
That's a great way to start the day.
And you know what? There's something about that and we know when that takes place. We know when that happens. One of the things I recall, and we'll talk about some of the ways of dealing with anger and what's the best way of being able to be able to get deflated or to get rid of it and stuff. But an awful lot of this stuff is that, plain and simple, is that it's difficult to be disciplined to do that sort of thing, okay? Again, because we just feel it's an injustice to us, okay? Especially if somebody has done something to me. But there are different types of anger that the Bible talks about. It talks about Jesus was angry. So anger itself is not a sin, okay? It's not a sin. What we do with the anger is what becomes sinful, okay? And so we end up looking at certain things saying, well, I'm just feeling the same way that Jesus did when he was in the temple, right? And thinking that, try to justify our anger that isn't close to being the same thing that he's talking about.
There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death.
I also found that that applied to so many different areas of my life. Couldn't believe it. There's a book that Gary Chapman put out on anger, and there's a little portion of it I want to read here. Two kinds of anger exist, definitive and distorted. Definitive anger is born of wrongdoing. Someone treats us unfairly, steals our property, lies about our character, or in some other way does us wrong. This is the only kind of anger God ever experiences, okay, is definitive anger, all right? The second kind of anger, however, is not valid. It is triggered by a mere disappointment, an unfulfilled desire, a frustrated effort, a bad mood, or any number of other things that have nothing to do with any moral transgression. The situation simply has made life inconvenient for us, touched one of our emotional hotspots, or happened at a time when we were extremely tired or stressed. I call this distorted anger, not because the emotions are any less intense than those experienced with definitive anger, but because they are the responses to something less than genuine wrongdoing. So often, you know, I know this. I remember being asked at one time, what is it in your heart that and this is with a pastor who was actually trying to see where my giftings were, what fires me up? What is it that I feel is wrong in the world, okay? That if I could correct it, what would that be? If I had all the money in the world and all the time in the world to be able to make this correct, what is it that it fires me up? What's the one thing? There may be many of them, but what's the one that's at the top of the heap? Okay. It could be anything. It could be abortion for some people. It could be the fact that you end up by sex trafficking, prostitution of, you know, young boys and girls. Okay. Anyway, so whatever it might be. Okay. Now that type of anger is back to this one that the Lord was talking about.
That's righteous.
Okay? and where we sit there and go, okay, this is something that I can fight. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go shoot a doctor because he does abortions. No.
No, you shall not kill.
Okay. But the simple fact is that this is something that is definitive. Okay, this is about something where there is an actual wrongdoing toward somebody or something, okay, that has to do with, and this is how the Lord, his anger was definitive. When he made the whip before he started throwing over the tables and, you know, and letting go of the doves and getting all that stuff out, he said, my Father's house is a house of prayer, not a den of robbers and thieves, as you are, you know. And he wanted him out and said, hey, listen, he's not saying this is wrong for you guys to sell these things, but not here, not in this house, right? So often we look at that and try to say, well, okay, if Jesus got angry, I can get angry. Well, there's different types, right? So this other one here, I love how Gary Chapman mentions these hot spots that we talked about, okay, of different things about us. We know when we're kind of, after work, you're tired, you're kind of stressed, and all of a sudden, you know, you get in your car, and you know you got traffic, and you know it's going to be like this, you know. Some guy just happens to, you know, or another person, I'm not going to say another guy, just it could be, who knows, an older grandmother trying to, you know, happens to be at the 5 o'clock traffic or whatever at the time of year, and she's trying to get in, or she doesn't notice you, and she just cuts in front of you, right? And we get angry. What are you doing to me, right? The road rage stuff, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway.
You know, and then maybe you see that, and then you use that as a justification for a stereotype. Well, maybe older people shouldn't drive so much, because that happens to me all the time. You know, I find myself doing that. I'll be driving down the freeway 5 miles over the speed limit, and someone will be in the left lane coming up. I'm like, they're going to try and pass me, and they're going to cut me off. So what do? I speed up. There's no way they're going to cut me off. When I get off on my exit, they're still on the freeway going. I kind of look down, oh, well, maybe they weren't trying to cut me off. Yeah.
Yes. And we all can relate with that. All of us can relate with those feelings. I think one of the things that he had mentioned here, too, is that we get to a place of where we're tired. There's something in recovery that we used to use. It's called HALT, okay? And the acronym would be hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, okay? If I'm hungry, I need to take care of that, okay? If I'm angry, I need to take care of it. Why am I angry? What's bothering me? What's on the top of, there might be a lot of things, but what's on the top that I need to address or whatever, okay? And the loneliness, okay, is take care of that. Call a friend. Say, hey, man, this is how I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling like I just don't belong anywhere, whatever it might be, okay? And tired. If you're tired, rest. You need to rest. But so often we get stressed and have all these issues and things, and we try to deal with life thinking everybody's doing the same thing, right?
Now that acronym you used, HALT, mm-hmm. It's a really good one, you know. But it's so easy. If you're hungry, you know how to fix that. Eat. If you're lonely, you know how to fix that. Be around people. If you're tired, get some sleep. But anger, that is a different one, you know, because usually anger is not the cause of anger. There is a root cause that is hidden. It's really hard to see a lot of times. It could be sadness that you're not thinking of, frustration, stress. A lot of times there's a root cause to anger, and you have to find it.
So let me ask you this then. What does a person do to get rid of that anger that you're talking about right here?
You have to take a look at yourself. You have to stop looking at what's wrong with everyone else. And you have to look at maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe there's something I'm not doing.
Okay.
Maybe, or I am doing that I shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take a deep look into yourself, because that you are the only one you can correct. You cannot change other people's behaviors. You can change yourself, though.
And then what takes place after that? After you become aware of that?
Prayer. You have to pray about it. You know, a lot of times you pray about it to help get that realization, but then you have to take action. You have to take action to make that change happen. You can't just sit there and you can't just pray, God, please change me. I mean, you can, but then you have to take action and you have to make that change happen in your life. Because if you don't, nothing's going to change. What was that you said about if you always do what you always did?
You keep getting what you're going to get, what you've been getting.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing that you've, I'm going to say you've neglected or maybe you did not mention it at all, is that there's only one person that's taking care of this, and that's you. And that's where the mistake is. That's where the real challenge is that, once again, you're going to end up getting caught up. Yes. Oh, let me see what it is that I'm angry about. That's not what the halt is for. That's not what the anger is that I'm dealing with it there. What halt means and what it where it comes from is the context of actually being able to use everything that is available to you. And this is where men end up missing the boat on this sort of thing. See, Jesus came to show not just that he is the Messiah, and he showed that he loves people and he's humble in everything that he does, but he was in relationship with others. See, most guys, I can handle this. I'm going to take care of this. I'm not going to say this to anybody else. I need to be able to take what you guys are telling me about anger, and I'll apply this into my life. Well, you probably won't if it has to do with talking with other people. Because most of the time, people end up going and paying good money for a counselor to listen to them. And let me just, if I don't have the insurance, I've got the money. I need to be able to do this sort of thing. I need somebody to give me the one answer on how to be able to deal with this. Okay? So we're in communication. We're talking with somebody else. When I'm left to my own devices all by myself, that's how I end up staying, getting all stressed out. And then I get to the place of actually getting sitting there and going, yes, I'm a jerk. I'm wrong. So I must not, those lies that I've heard back when I was growing up probably apply. That I'll amount to nothing because I am nothing. And I'm not any good at anything. Now I'm in a, now the enemy's got me thinking nothing but negative about me. So nowhere there, being all by myself, is it going to be good? It's not. So in a sense, I'm just letting you know that I believe, okay, that so often this has to do with me being willing to be open with somebody else and trusting somebody else, God first and foremost. If I need to, I ask him, please, Lord, put a man in my life that I can trust, that I know he's not going to cause harm. He doesn't want something from me. He's not going to hurt me or harm me, that he's just going to share with me what your word says and what you want me to be able to, and how you want me to deal with this sort of thing. A man who will pray for me. Well, I will tell you this, there are men in your life that are like that. You probably speak to them or at least acknowledge or see them in your life, but you just don't want to talk to them because of the issues and the challenges, the shame, the guilt, everything else that comes with saying this is who I am. But this is part of what I believe is so, so important. Did Jesus not share with us that he was the Son of God? That nobody can come to the Father unless they come through me, he says. He says to stay connected with him completely. He is the vine. We are the branches. And if we aren't connected to him, we can't do anything. Nothing. Nothing constructive. Oh, yes, we can have maybe a good time. Everything that we do fizzles out very quickly. It's kind of like having those sparklers, 4th of July. You know, just, oh, man, you light one up. Look at it. The spark. Then all of a sudden it's out. In about 30 seconds, you just go, oh, look at everybody else has got sparklers. I need another one. I need another one so I can, you know. That's how quickly sometimes the things that we end up trying to do right in our life, we may look good, sound good, and maybe even be successful, but it's only going to be for a splecken, that there's more to it, okay? Jesus, once again, is wanting us to be in relationship with him. And if we're obedient to him, if we sit there and say, I need to get into the Word of God more, then get into the Word of God. Then you're going to find out that Jesus is saying, I need you to be with other people. I need you to be able to submit yourself and humble yourselves to the authorities. to those who actually, you know, oh, I can't do that. Really? Well, maybe what I need to do is submit myself to God first. So anyway, here I go. I'm on a rampage.
Well, you know, the great thing about gathering in that fellowship with other believers to seek that help that you need, mm-hmm. that you desire,
mm-hmm.
is you don't have to pay $100 an hour for it like you would to a counselor.
Amen to that.
Because then you're going to have financial problems. That's only going to lead to more anger.
There you go. There you go. We'll take our last break right now. We're going to come back. We're going to give you some other suggestions on how to possibly apply into your life, okay, to be able to help you, guide you to that place of solution. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
I got the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. I got angel armies and the Holy Ghost. I got spirit filled, baptized by fire. I got a valley of bones that came alive. I got a cross, a hill, and an empty grave. I got a trumpet sound and one sweet name. Shake the gates of hell, the sinners and dark. I got my Jesus and the devil got to run.
There you go. I can just keep singing that song for a little while. I got Jesus, and the devil's got to run. Plain and simple. All right. Listen, we don't want to just leave you guys hanging here. And okay, so you're talking about anger. I can relate with, and I understand what you guys are talking about because, you know, that's me too. But how do I take care of this? Well, there's no one easy answer. Well, there is, but it's not very easy. It's called Jesus. Okay. He's easy to come to, but the things that he's going to have us do to be rid of this stuff is not going to be easy. It's going to require every bit of willingness that you have and strength that you have to seek and submit to God to use his strength. You know, one of the things that's so important is that we realize is, as Jesus told Paul, said to him, said, hey, listen, I'm not going to take this thorn from your side. He said, denied him three times. Okay, he says, my grace is sufficient. That's the answer to this whole thing. God's grace is sufficient. Now, you might think, how does that apply to into my anger? Well, because our anger is triggered from situations and deals that we have within us that are not, they're unfinished. They're not wrapped up. We went to bed with that anger. That anger turned into resentment. Resentment turned into something that just continues to corrode, and we think about and keep thinking about the same thing over and over again. Jesus is the answer, because truly, forgiveness is the real deal, man. That we have to get to that place of forgiving everyone that has harmed us. The Bible says this is what we need to do. This is what God says that we need to do. It's not something that, it's a suggestion. I think it's a command that we are to forgive, okay? But I wanted to give you a few things here. There's five In summary, here's how to deal with your anger. This is the best way for me to say it. The first one is consciously acknowledge to yourself that you're angry. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Consciously acknowledge to yourself that you're angry. Okay. The second one, and they got to go boom, boom, boom. Okay. The second one is restrain your immediate response. You want to hit the guy? Restrain from doing that. You want to curse at him? Restrain from doing that. Okay. The third one is locate the focus of your anger. What is it? Why am I angry? What, you know, well, because this guy hit my car and I just want to hit him. I don't even want to talk to him, right? The fourth is to analyze your options. Okay. Wow, I have options here? Yes. You don't have to hit him. You don't have to curse at him. You don't have to react to it. Okay. And the fifth one here is take constructive action. And that means, in a sense, how do I do that? I'm so angry, the adrenaline is flowing, the guy just hit my car, and he hit it twice, you know? That's where our relationship with Jesus Christ comes in, brother. That we've already submitted to him for the day. And if you're seeking him more and more often throughout the day, if you're doing everything that you're doing it as if unto the Lord and for him, guess what? You have more light that's surrounding you. You're in God's presence. You're acknowledging it. Okay? This is so huge that to be able to do these five things that we talked about, consciously acknowledge, restrain, locate where that anger is coming from, what it is, okay? To analyze your options. And then to take constructive action. Sometimes the take constructive action means not necessarily doing anything at all. Of just saying, okay, you know what? This will be okay. But it's difficult to do. You know, we think sometimes that we short end ourselves with the fact that we don't have enough self-discipline to do this sort of thing. But where do we get that?
We don't have enough self-discipline, but we can get it. It's called complete surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the answer is simple, but it's not easy. Because all our lives growing up, it's been ingrained in our heads that we're only going to get what we can take, what we've earned, what we deserve.
You know, and here's the deal. So often, and we get there, and this is where we get confused, saying, hey, I don't deserve anything. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. And this is, and all of a sudden, I mean, that's where some people find themselves in prison, in jail, as a result of our anger that takes over. And it had nothing to do with the little old lady that just hit me. It has everything to do with the things that I have inside that I've been holding on to, that I've been mulling over, that I feel like, you know, I put it in a box and I really put a lot of nails, screws to keep that lid shut so it doesn't ever open again. I don't ever want to go there because that was a wrong that was done to me. Brother, this is in seeking the Lord in our relationship with Jesus Christ, that the comfort that he gives us, we're going to realize that he's going to put people in our lives that are there to help us, that will accept us, that won't judge us or condemn us. And there are men just like yourself that have been there before, that are willing to give away what the Lord has given them to you, okay? Which is really the Lord giving it to you through them, okay? So it really begins with our relationship with Jesus, okay? See, because if we try to control our own anger, man, sometimes look at the way we've been doing it in the past. It works the same way. It'll continue manifesting itself the same way because nothing has changed until there's been a true heart change, okay? The only one that can change our heart is Jesus. He is the surgeon. He is the one he's the pruner. He says, okay, I need this out of your life. This needs to go. Because I want more fruit to come from you than what has been coming. Okay? So.
Amen. You know, one of the things you said is how you react. when that, like that guy hits your car, hitting him is not going to fix it, but praying for him maybe will. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 4 say, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We're a representative for Christ. So maybe instead of reacting in anger, we should react in prayer, in supplications for those that anger us, so that we can show Jesus to the world by being Jesus to the world.
There you go. There you go. The book of Romans, and we'll just wrap it up here with a couple of scriptures like we've been doing here. In Romans chapter 12, verse 14, we'll just say, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the answer is Jesus. His word is truth. His word will work. Just know this, is that he will supply you with everything that you need, brother. If you need the strength or the discipline, you ask for it, he'll give it to you. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, as a matter of fact, the very last one. So would you mind praying for our brothers who are listening?
Heavenly Father, I lift up to you the men today that are dealing with anger. And I pray, Lord, that as it comes upon them, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would fill them with peace and joy and love. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you.